become and consume with this one question each and every day, each and every day, each and every day. And that is, Lord, how can I do your will? Lord, what is it that you have for me to do? A body thou hast prepared for me that I might do your will. To be consumed with one thing. To lead with one thing. Lord, what is your will? What is your will that I might do your will? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. You know, Martha was consumed with the task of the house that had to get done, that were needed and in their own right had some importance. But Mary recognized the moment she was in. And she chose the best part that Jesus said would not be taken away from her. Martha was more concerned at that moment with the things that needed to get done, the day-to-day things in life that need to get done. And I got to do this, and this isn't clean yet, and I got to run this errand. I got to go here. I got to do this. I got to do this. And there was one thing. You see, there's this phrase of the task that keep the lights on in the house. You know, we got to keep the lights on. We got to pay the bills. We have to do this and do this. We have to do the things that keep the lights on. But the things that keep the lights on can never become more important than the lights. The things that support the ministry can never become more important than the ministry. There is one thing: seek ye first, as a first priority, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That heart, that one desire, that thirst, that hunger, that passion, Lord, a body thou hast prepared for me that I might do thy will. God loves, God receives, God enjoys. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are regularly and constantly revealing your will to us in greater measure each and every day, that we can be more aligned, more aligned, more aligned each and every day with what it is you want done, how you want it done, where you want it done, Father, in every arena of the earth that you seek to operate in, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we lift the assembly before you this night. We thank you for the opportunity to enter your gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise, Lord. This night, Father, we receive your flow. We receive your presence this night, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together as the body of Christ, and we just call this time blessed of you, Father. We're two or more have gathered in your name. Jesus is in the midst. Jesus, we receive you being in the midst of the lampstands, the churches.
Yes, Jesus.
This night. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. We celebrate you, Lord. We celebrate you, Lord. You are awesome. Hallelujah. You are wonderful. Hallelujah. You are glorious. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. God is good. Good to see everyone. It's Wednesday night. If you're watching by live stream, hello. You are blessed. You are victorious. You are more than a conqueror. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. God is able to do exceedingly beyond all you could ask, all you could think. Whatever you're thinking about ministry, about family, about finances, about physical health, whatever it is, know that God has already gone beyond that. He's already gone beyond that, and he has more in store.
Yes.
God is good. Well, I'm going to stop. Who has announcements?
Good evening. What a wonderful time in God's presence. This Friday, well, let's start with tomorrow. Tomorrow there will be no praise team practice. So praise team, it's the last Thursday of the month. So take care of something at your house. And because that's your opportunity. Friday at 6:15 a.m., Brother Rob will be continuing on with communion and prayer. And so men, those of you who are availing yourselves to that, 6:15 on Zoom. And then Saturday, prayer at Jessica, 7 p.m. Jessica was like, you want me to write it down for you, Nina? I was like, no, I'll remember it. And then I forgot it. 7 p.m. on Saturday. And then, of course, we'll have a wonderful time in the Lord on Sunday. And then prayer on Tuesday at 6:30. All right, that's it.
Good evening, church family. I come before you once again to give you the opportunity to ratify your covenant in the area of tithes and offerings. If you're here in the house, the ushers are distributing offering envelopes before you. If you're watching online, please use our online sewing portal, the Engage Giving, on our homepage. You can also chase the link that's in our YouTube video or our Facebook feed. I want to go to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6, the one who is taught the word should share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that and that only will he reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, and the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. But let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those to the ones who are in the household of faith. Now, this is a popular scripture that's around offering time, you know, what you sow, that not only will you reap. A lot of people talk about that. It says, make sure that you sow well so that you have a good harvest. I want to take the opposite side of this. What if you don't sow? What do you reap? You reap that harvest of nothing. If you don't put anything in the ground, you receive nothing back. But it's actually even worse than that, because if you have a piece of land and you let it grow fallow, what happens? If you get a brand new house, I did this. I had a brand new house. I didn't want to pay the extra money to have them sod the backyard. And I said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And then I didn't. Now, I didn't plant anything in the backyard, but stuff grew. And not a bit of it was any good.
No.
If you don't plant good seed, you will reap a bad harvest by default. The enemy is going to come and sow thistles in your life. The only way you can keep your harvest coming in is to make sure that you crowd out the bad harvest with the good. Many years ago, I had a lawn business, and one of my mentors in it, he says, you know, you can't keep the weeds out. What you can do is you can make the grass so strong that it chokes out the weeds and they don't have a chance to grow. And so you make sure that you feed that grass, and you make sure that that St. Augustine, it's got plenty of water and it's got plenty of fertilizer, it's got all the minerals that it needs, and the dandelions can't grow there because it can't set root. So my challenge to you is, know that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And if you make that conscious decision, you know what? I'm just not going to sow. It's not a big deal. I can do it. My 40 hours a week, that's more than enough for me, my family, us four, no more. We're good. I don't have to plant a seed. Just know that if you don't plant that seed in your field, someone's going to plant something in your field for you, and you will reap that harvest. So if you're watching online, please use our online sewing portal. You can also mail us a check, P.O. Box 140-345, Austin, Texas, 78714. Purpose in your heart. what harvest you want to receive and plant in faith for that.
You are my light and my salvation. You are my light and my salvation.
Father, we lift before you the tithe and the offering this night, Lord. We call it holy unto you and set apart for your will, your plan, and your purpose, Father. We agree together with you that the windows of heaven are open, Lord. Your blessings are overtaking us, Father. And as we've given this night, as we've sowed seed, Father, we reap a harvest. It is given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Father. We receive the return that we would be fully furnished, entire, lacking nothing, ready for every good work and every charitable donation. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Thank you for your giving. Lord bless you and keep you always. Pastor Michelle is coming to bless us with the word, hot off the press, straight out of Brother Brian and Brother Steve's presentation. So thank you, praise team.
So if y'all don't mind, I'm going to ask if we can move this pulpit back there, because it's about 15 degrees cooler back there, and I'm just going to stand back there and teach. I'm sure the camera's okay. Never mind. But it is really nice and cool back there. So if you're hot, don't move back there. Stay up here and suffer with me, okay? No, I'm not suffering. Praise the Lord. God is good. I have a request to put before you before we jump into the word. A couple of needs over in Botswana. We have a number of people that give regularly, and we appreciate that, and it goes into the ministry there, into resources and setting up those things, taking care of the kids, feeding the disadvantaged, getting them materials and that sort of thing, and that's on a regular basis. But there are a couple of needs that are outside that regular right now, and they're on my heart, and I just want to put it before you, and if God puts it in your heart to do something for one of these needs, if you could just bring it and put it in this bucket up here, and we'll know that it's for that. There's a minister over there, a young minister whose life I've been speaking into. He's in his last year of college, just about done. And because of so many COVID issues and problems, the government has decided they're just not going to help them anymore, which normally they would buy their books and give them a food allowance. It's not a lot of money. but it's more than they have. And so it's looking like they're going to need some help. And this is not someone that the church has helped. This is someone that Richard and I have done a lot for, just because we see potential there in this person in the ministry. And so if God puts it in your heart to, no gift is too small, too large, $5, $20. If he puts it in your heart to help this minister out, finish that last little bit. There's a couple of other issues that he's having with the government as well. Some things he needs to do that he started a couple of years ago. COVID shut it all down. When it opened back up, he started again. He's ready to finish it. And they said, oh, your papers are expired, which means you start over and you pay all over again. Which is not fair. It is not something that this country would do. This country would say, well, it was because of something outside of our control. How can we work with you? But they don't do that because they they want money and they need money in any way that they can. They're going to try to get it from anyone that they can. So just some things that I would like to see helped. And if God puts it in your heart to assist in that, I appreciate it. And then also with Brother Kempo, he has gone back to his hometown to take care of some government business that he needs taken care of there. And I think it wound up being, I don't know, a 12-hour trip to get there in the heat, in the desert, Kalahari Desert, with no AC in the vehicle. So, and there are some, you know, people, friends, family, whatever, around there. But conditions being what they are, he's sleeping in his car. And if you want air, you open the windows and you welcome the mosquitoes. And if you don't want mosquitoes, then you don't get air. And I am working with this young man to make him understand that God does not require that of him. That when you've been called into the ministry and you've been faithful, God wants to take care of those things for you. He doesn't even think to ask for it. That's just how he's always lived. But I would like to find something around there to put him in for a couple of nights while he's there, if he will let us, which I feel like after a night with the mosquitoes, he probably will. We're probably only talking about $100. But I just wanted to put that before you if you're interested in being a part of that. You can also bring that up here to this bucket and just, you know, doing the little things that we can to bless them and to help them see that God wants you taken care of. And those are things that we expect for ourselves, for our families. And it's because we've been well taught and we understand God's heart for us. He gave us the good things of the earth to enjoy. And if we have to rough it somewhere for a little while, we know we can, but we know that as a matter of course, we expect God to take care of us. And so it's a process in teaching people that haven't heard that a lot, that don't expect that. And so we'll just let God take care of those needs through his people, through whoever's heart he would put it on. And Richard and I will be giving towards that as well. So, you know, continue to pray for Botswana. We are connected. God is doing things there. When a word comes here, I believe it's for there too, because there's a connection there, something that God is doing in that country. So continue to lift them up. Father, I thank you that you have given us Botswana for the kingdom. Father, I thank you for the souls that you've given us. Father, I pray for every single person in Botswana. Father, that they would be preserved unto their day of salvation. Father, that they would not be stolen from an eternal life. And Father, I thank you that you are raising up laborers. You're raising up resources for the laborers, because I know the harvest is there. It is ready. So, Father, you are raising up young men and women, Father, mothers and fathers who will go and who will bring in the harvest, who will love and who will cover and shine your light and show the goodness of your heart and your kingdom. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us Botswana for the kingdom, and we'll be careful to give you praises for that. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for the word that you are sharing with us, that you've already sown into us tonight. Your anointing that has already flowed through us, we thank you that it has prepared our hearts. And we are good ground, Father, and we will receive your word tonight. Father, flow through me with your anointing. Flow through your people. Let us all have ears to hear and eyes to see what you are saying and to know what you are doing, to work together with your process so that we are bodies fully prepared to do your will. And we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise. Amen. I have some words of encouragement for you tonight. And I know they're going to encourage you because they encouraged me. And believe it or not, I'm going to talk about patience. If anybody's afraid of that, you can get up and run now. There goes Paula. Because you know what they say when you talk about, you teach patience or you ask God for patience, well, you're going to get an impossible situation to be patient through. That's how it generally works, but not always, because God is working in us to prepare us for everything he's called us to. And anything in us that would say, oh, this is going to make it hard, when God's giving us something, God doesn't give us things to make it hard. He gives us things to make it easier to flow through. Amen? So I love the Word of God. I love to find His promises, His Word to me, meditate on it, think on it. I love it. I don't know about y'all, but we will watch videos on YouTube, a lot of ministers, because a lot of people we started not being able to find on some of the Christian channels we used to watch. And I have found out, quite to my surprise, that we actually have cut the cord and we have flipped and we are not cable people anymore. It's weird because I have always had a real passion for Time Warner Cable. I love when you just hit the on button and there it is. And with Roku, you know, you've got to turn the TV on and then we use our phone as a remote. It's got to bring the app up and then it's got to locate the device. And then you got to get the TV on and then you got to go to the channel that you want to watch. And then you got to wait for it to come up. And then you got to scroll through and find what you want to watch. And then you hit play and then you can watch. It's a lot of work for us. There's probably an easier way, but that's where we are right now with technology. But I love being able to just go to YouTube or Sunday Streams or some of those Victory Channel, a lot of those channels, and just see, you know, what God is saying recently, what he's up to. I love watching those when they're giving words and they're sharing, and you have a witness in your spirit as a blessing. Or you visit a church, visit somewhere else. We don't get out a lot. But I understand that some people do visit other churches, other ministers that come in, ministries. We've gotten to go up and hear Nigel and Brother Brad, some of those ministers up in Oklahoma. And you hear a word, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and you appreciate it. But I got to tell you that when a man of God from our own assembly stands in front of us and gives us a word from the Lord directly to our body, it's time to really get excited, to get expectant, and to celebrate that promise, because it's personal. It's personal. How many of you remember what Brother Brian said Sunday? I see wheels turning. Do you remember what you said, Brother Brian? He said a lot of things. Which one are you talking about? He said, turnaround is here. Turn around. He said it several times. And my spirit leapt with that. Turn around. When there's a word given from a man of God raised up in our body, we need to lay hold of it. Don't just let it, oh, that was cool, wasn't that fun, and move on. We need to remember those things and lay hold of them. And when they do that, it is exciting. But that can also raise its own set of problems, because we hear it and we get excited about it, and then a day goes by, and then 2 days go by, and then 2 weeks go by, and then 3 months go by, and we begin to think, well, maybe he missed it, maybe I missed it, some of us, not all of us, I understand, some of you are better at this than me, but sometimes we're tempted to say, well, maybe we just misunderstood. We start reasoning it away because we haven't seen it yet. So we think that, you know, we assume that when God says something, it's like in a second it's going to happen. Because that's the kind of world that we live in. Everything is supposed to happen quickly. But if the man of God spoke it and you had a witness in your spirit, you need to lay hold of it and never let go. Now, I'm going to throw in here just a little caveat from what I'm talking about. There are a lot of prophets who have said the same thing about our government. And one or two of those prophets decided that because they hadn't seen things happen yet, they must have been wrong. Now, I want to encourage you to be very careful with that, that you start deciding prophets have messed up and we're going to throw you out. I heard a pastor say, and I had not considered this, but he said the world will kill the Christians and the believers, but the church will kill the prophets. Don't kill the prophets. Be very careful about that. David, when he knew Saul was in the wrong, he knew Saul had messed up. David knew he was supposed to be king. He said, I will not touch God's anointed. God is going to deal with that. So I'm not telling you to jump on anybody's bandwagon. I'm not telling you what to believe, but I'm saying be very careful when very reputable, reliable, long-term men and women of God have spoken something and 3 months go by and it hasn't happened. Now, we would say that and we would all think, oh my goodness, how stupid is that? It's only been 3 months. You know, it's just a few weeks. How can people give up? How can people give up so easily? And yet, there are some things that we've been trusting God for that maybe we just kind of said, well, maybe it's just not supposed to happen. So I just want to encourage you in these things. Brother Brian said the turnaround has begun. It's an exciting word. Things are turning in our favor. Good things are coming. Blessings are being released. Blockages removed. And hindrances taken off. But when? I will tell you that it's already begun. In the spirit, it's already a finished thing. It's already a finished product. So we're thinking, when is this going to happen? And you go home and your water's still off and that bill still isn't paid and your friend still isn't speaking to you and you still don't know what to do about that issue and there's still pressing situations. So what do you do then? And I know better than to ask this question, but there are many who would say, but what we see is real, right? Think again. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, are you so foolish and senseless, having begun in the spirit, are you now going to reach perfection in the flesh? If we started out believing in a word of God and we find ourselves trying to make it happen, we switched processes in the middle somewhere and we've made it hard on ourselves. Hard on ourselves. If we've begun in the Spirit, we began with a word from the Spirit, we're going to have to stand in the Spirit and look to the Spirit to see those things happen. So I'm going to share some principles with you on that, and it's going to be interesting because it's going to come right back to everything we've been talking about for the last year. So we're not going to begin relying on thoughts and our sense gates to tell us what's real. I had to encourage myself in the Lord today over some situations. And he encouraged me. I started off and he said, here, honey, let me help. Because I tried. But he knows. He knows exactly what we need to hear. And I believe what he shared with me is going to bless you. So if you've been constantly in faith and in joy and expectation and you have no concerns about anything or anybody, you are happily reconciled to life, everything is perfect for you, then just, you know, sit quietly and pray for the rest of us, okay? Because we're all growing. We're all in different places of that. And if you've already arrived, hallelujah, pray for us, okay? That's all I ask. So we're going to start off in James 1, because that's where he started off with me. James chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, let endurance. The King James says, let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Imagine lacking nothing. It's not just talking about not lacking for peace, not lacking for, you look it up, you do some word studies there, you understand it's talking about you don't lack anything in your body, in your soul, people around you. It actually mentions that in the definition. You lack for nothing, no good thing. How does that happen? By confession? If we pray hard enough? If we say it enough, it'll happen? If I put on enough praise music, it'll happen? It says, let patience, steadfastness. What I love about that definition is it's not just waiting. It's how you wait. It's how you wait. That's not patience. That may be restraint, where you want to go strangle somebody and you're not. But it's not patience. One of the definitions in there is cheerful constancy. Cheerful, not just not confrontational. Some days I am really happy to be not confrontational. I'm even keel, but this says cheerful constancy. The Amplified says, let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be a people perfectly and fully developed with no defects. No defects. Flawless. Flawless in Him. Lacking in nothing. So what He's saying here is you have to let these things play out. We live in time. God does not. But we have to learn how to manage it. How to understand it, that it is a thing not to be despised. Because God's word will be fulfilled if we don't quit. And there are always more components than just you that God is raising up. If you think of it as when you're trying to take that family picture and you've got a couple of two-year-olds and maybe a three-year-old, and you're ready, and you're like, my smile muscles are hurting, and they're still trying to get this kid over here to turn around and shut up and smile to take a picture. So what do? Okay, I'm done. Let me know when the kid's ready. And now the kid's ready, snap, and you're... Because they didn't think they were going to have to tell the adults to do that. They just thought it was for the kids. So sometimes you got to get in your place and you got to get your smile on and you stay there until that other component comes into line. Because as soon as they do, everything falls into place and it's done. There's a suddenly. Now you may have waited 4 years for your suddenly. It wasn't necessarily soon, but it was sudden. And so staying in place for those things, letting patience have her perfect work, how we wait is important. This is in one of the songs that we sang tonight in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. It says, do not, this is the Amplified again, do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. In other words, don't give up. Don't quit. Because you need steadfast patience and endurance. There it is again. So that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God and then receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what was promised. You got to have patience. You have to have cheerful constancy, waiting on the Lord, not just for the promise, but for the fullness. Sometimes we get halfway there and we're like, you know what, God, I'm happy with that. We're done. We're good. And we didn't wait and fully enjoy everything about it, which is what God wants us to do. We have to hold on to our confidence. Galatians 6:9, this is the other verse of that song. Let us not lose heart, grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we will reap if we don't loosen and relax our courage and faint. It's coming. Answer is coming. Way is coming. Blessing is coming. Everything that he has promised is coming. But what do all these verses say we have to have? We have to have patience. We have to be willing to wait beyond what seems reasonable to us. Very short times are reasonable to me. You know, long wait is never reasonable to me, but is not up to me. And what do we know about our children when we're teaching our children? And, Mommy, I want ice cream. Mommy, I want ice cream. Okay, we'll have ice cream in a little bit. But I want it now, but I want it now, but I want it now. What happens when you give them everything that they want and you give them everything that they want now? They're spoiled, right? Nobody else in the world wants to be around them. You love your little child so much, you don't want them to go without anything. You want them to have everything their little heart desires and right now. And you, my dear, have created a monster to make you feel better. And nobody else is going to want to play with your child because they don't know how to share. They don't know how to wait. They don't know how to be gracious. God does not want spoiled little children out there having a fit everywhere they go. He wants you standing strong, confident, cheerful, and waiting. Whatever you say, God. Whenever you say it, God. However you're going to do it, I'm trusting in you. So we see what we need to do and to be, but how do we get there? When everything around us says the exact opposite of what God's saying, how do we rest? How do we endure? How do we stay in joy? You know what? I left out one more scripture. I'm sorry. Let me back up just a little. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter the rest that God has prepared for us, that no one would fall or perish by unbelief and disobedience. You know, when we give up, that's unbelief. We're not believing in God anymore when we give up. And that's what caused the children of Israel to not enter into the promised land. So if we're going to stay in belief, we have to enter the rest. Because if we really believe that Sister Lou is bringing lunch tomorrow, then if we believe it because she said it, then we're not going to, you know, just die because it's 11 o'clock and what's going to happen for lunch? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh, Sister Lou's taking care of it. She's reliable. If she told me she will do something, she's going to do it. I'm not going to freak out about it. I'm not going to worry. I don't have to pack a lunch just in case. Because that's unbelief. There's no plan B. It's trusting him and entering into the rest. But it's interesting because the scripture says labor to enter into the rest. But understand what he means there by labor. He's not giving us a different job to do. Don't work for this, work for this. The labor there is make haste. Make it number one and be diligent. As soon as God has given a promise and he says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to take care of it, and the enemy comes in and says, yeah, well, look at that, that, and that. All of that's going to cancel that out. There's no way. Run to him. God, you said, and my trust is in you, and I refuse to listen to these lies. Make haste and be diligent to go back to that place of rest. But we're going to talk about how. The how is nothing short of supernatural. It's either God or go home. There's no in between. We have to know that it's Him. It is Christ working in us. It's no longer I that live, but Christ. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord, in Him. Not thinking about Him, not remembering what He said, but I believe He means to come into that place of His presence where He is and receive that strength. You are in Christ. You are in Him. If you've never read Ephesians all the way through and studied it, I encourage you to do so. There's even a book, I think we may have some in the bookstore, called In Him, written by Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. How many times it says, in Him, in Him, in Him. We are in Him, literally in Him. And He is in us. And that is where we receive those things that we need. We draw from Him. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 37:7 says, be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for Him and patiently lean yourself upon Him, and fret not yourself because of those who prosper in their evil way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Fret not. Fret not. He didn't say, try not to think about it. Try not to get too upset about those things. He said, stop. S-T-O-P. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember Elder McNeese? S-T-O-P. That's all you got to do. When the worry and the stress and, oh my goodness, they're prospering, and oh my goodness, look what they just did, and oh my goodness, look at that thing they just signed, and oh my goodness, look what they're doing downtown, and you know what? Fret not, because we have a promise from God. And then I think what ties it up beautifully is Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And we've seen weight in those coming into Him, coming into His presence and finding strength. Those who wait on the Lord. What does that mean? Does that mean like serve Him a cold beverage? Does that mean sit outside His office and listen for your name to be called? No, it doesn't mean any of those things. It means to come into His presence and linger. Linger. There is a picture in part of that definition even of like three cords being twisted together, bound with. You can't really tell Him from me. So in His presence. When we come into His presence, what have we been talking about for a year now? Not quite a year. Spending time in prayer. Coming before Him. If you want patience, we think patience is worked out by going through something difficult. Only if you handle it the right way. And what is the right way? To go to Him for the strength to do it. See, He tells you, lift that weight. And then He says, come stand right here and you'll be empowered and it won't be an issue. It sounds very simple, right? And yet God says, do this, and we just immediately, we jump in, and we're trying, and we're pulling, and we're pushing, and we're working, and we're speaking, and we're declaring, and we're praying, and will you agree with me? And God's like, right here, in my presence, linger with me, and I will strengthen your heart. I will strengthen your heart if you will linger in my presence. That was fresh for you right there. God said, He will strengthen your heart when you linger in His presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So we look for, we hope, and we expect, and we linger there in his presence, and we become bound together with him, tied together with him. I think it's Ecclesiastes that says a threefold cord is not easily, not quickly broken. There's strength in becoming entangled with him, if you will. Just letting him surround you. Coming into his presence. Let's look at a couple of other things. Remember Galatians said, don't be weary in well-doing. How do we accomplish that? Hebrews 4:11 said, make haste to enter his rest. How do we do that? Look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, and this is the Amplified, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease, relieve, and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, and you will find rest, ease, refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes my soul is just working overtime. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? How are we going to eat when we're going to have this meeting with these people, and these people are going to come, and I don't know why they keep coming to us, and what are we going to do about tomorrow? And, you know, we got to find us a building, and, you know, where are we going to live, and what are we going to do about Africa? I call it looping, and it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And Jesus said, come to me. Now, how do we do that? I know you know how to do that. You find a quiet place, a little bit of time. And if you want to, you just close your eyes and you enter that other dimension, that spirit dimension, where we can go in prayer and praise and in worship and just come to the Lord. You know, as we are born again and born into the kingdom, we're all someone's children. There's someone who was a spiritual parent or a father over us. Somebody somewhere, they may be gone now. Or maybe God brought you under someone after he taught you these things. But there's a promise in the Old Testament that says, all of your children, that's a promise to my spiritual parents, all of your children will be taught of the Lord. And great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. I pray this over my children. I have prayed this over my dogs. You are a peaceful puppy in the kingdom, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure. Chill. And our dog never had issues with fireworks, never had issues with thunderstorms. It was like a war zone and for New Year's and 4th of July where we used to live, because it was an ETJ, so there was no governing body that said you can't do this. And it the walls were shaking. And Tootsie's just snoring away. She didn't care, because the word works. The word works. Well, I lay hold of that promise for my spiritual father, Pastor Jim. That was his promise about me, and I lay hold of it. So we come to him. He said, learn of me, taught of the Lord. That's me. Learn how I do it. Learn how I do things, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It is not up to you to find rest. It's up to you to come to him for the rest. Again, talking about getting into his presence, spending time in prayer, spending time in worship. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Come to me, just like Jesus said, come, come. You can come right into the Holy of Holies. Remember the whole tabernacle, and only these people could come this far, and only these people could come this far, and only one person could come this far, and if he didn't get it just right, he was going to die as soon as he walked in, and the curtains were like 6 inches thick, and it was just all kinds of stuff you had to do to not die when you went in there. And when Jesus was crucified, that veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. No man could have done that. And not could have started at the top. That was God saying, I have accepted the sacrifice for you. It was enough. And you can come straight to me. You don't need a priest. You don't need somebody in the way. Come to me. So if we're going to make haste to enter into that rest so that we don't fall dead in the wilderness because of unbelief, what do we have to do? We have to make haste to come to him. Come to him. Spend time with him. Time in prayer. Finding that place of prayer. A place to talk to him. And when we talk about entering that rest, our example is Jesus. And how did he live? Richard and I were talking today about finding that place of balance between rest and responsibility. Between work and worry. That one, not so much, because we're not supposed to worry. But, you know, finding that place, there are Christians who just, they quit their job. I promise you, they quit their job and they sit home and they watch soap operas all day because God's going to bring a boatload of money to their door. And they just sit and they're waiting. Well, there's some things that God told us to do. Our promises are not necessarily directly tied to those, but we are supposed to be doing things. Before the fall, Adam and Eve were told to work the garden. The difference in before and after the fall was the tools. The tools that God gives us to use make it not so much about sweat, but about trust. But he's called us to do that, to do those things. And so we were talking about that, you know, that place in there. So what did Jesus do? If we look at our example, in John chapter 12 and verse 49, Jesus says, I have never spoken on my own authority or of my own accord or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. I don't say anything except I hear it of the Father. Where did he hear these things? When he went away to pray, when he went away to spend time with him. I'm sure there's times that God told him something on the fly, but it's because he was diligent to make a place for the fellowship and for the time spent with him, listening, and God was telling him, you're going to have to feed the people tomorrow or today or whenever it was. There's going to be more than you have food for, but if you bless it, I'll multiply it. Go team. And so when the disciples said, we got some people here to feed, he knew because he spent time with the Father. That's how he knew what to do. That's how he didn't have to say, oh my goodness, let's put all our money together. Does HEB have anything on sale right now? What's the cheapest thing we can buy? Beans and rice. How are we going to cook it? Well, I don't know. He didn't have to go through those processes because he had been with the Father. Been with the Father. And then again in John 5:19, I'm almost done. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you that the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, that's what the Son does. What am I supposed to do? You know, there are different people, different temperaments, personalities. You're oriented differently. You're thinkers or you're doers or you're helpers. There's all kinds of things. And one thing I know about Richard and I is that we are task-oriented. When we wake up in the morning, what do we have to do? What do we get to do? What do we want to do? What should we do? What's the important thing to do? What does God think we should do? What do the people think God thinks we should do? All of these things go over in our mind. I don't want to do anything. Do I have to do something today? Can we just have a day where we don't do? And I know for a lot of people, when they go on vacation, they make a fabulous list of fun things to do. There are very few things on our list of things to do that we would consider fun. Now, you know, taking the boat out, I don't know, riding on a motorcycle. There's a few things that we would enjoy. But we don't want a long to-do list because every day is about to-do. And we just want to not to. We just want to sit and chill. That's just how we're made. And so we think about, what should we be doing? God, we should be doing something, because society and culture teaches us that if you're sitting and doing nothing, you're irresponsible. Well, we need to understand that sitting in the presence of God and learning of Him is not doing nothing. That is the best thing you can do. Brother Brian was talking about Mary and Martha. One thing is needful, but the people need food put out. People get hungry enough, they can find the food. But the people need silverware to eat with. Oh, trust me, they'll figure it out. They will figure it out. We need to set up tables for the people to eat. They get hungry enough, they can sit on the floor and eat. Because the most important thing is, what is God saying right now? And once you understand that, then if there's stuff to be done, you can go ahead. But your first and foremost place is, okay, God, I'm listening to you right now. What are you saying? And I asked someone the other day, was going through some issues, and she was having some problems. And I said, honey, what's the last thing that God told you to do? What's the last thing that God said to you? And they had nothing. They didn't remember a time where they heard God say something. So someone that was raised in church sat here, hears, listens, knows, but doesn't go before the Father. For whatever reason, some people think, well, the preacher's the one that's supposed to go here, and then he tells me. There's a lot of misconceptions about it. But understand that God wants to talk to you. And when you come to Him, that's when you see and you hear what your action is on any situation. And then you can trust Him to take care of the rest, because you came to Him. Galatians 5:22. We find out there that patience, cheerful constancy, is a fruit of the Spirit. And when you look at that, you realize that it's talking about, it is a fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in you when you spend time in His presence. When you spend time in His presence, it produces these amazing, it's like Miracle-Grow, amazing things. Love, peace, from spending time with Him. It's not something you just lay hold of by faith and decree it, I've got peace. He said, this is how it comes. He's given us peace, and it grows when we're in His presence. So we need to understand those things. And I love it in the Amplified there. It talks about where it goes to patience. It says, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. That's the important part. There's another, I guess, one more component here that I want to talk about for a minute. Luke 6:45 basically says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart produces what is upright, and the evil man brings forth what is depraved or wicked. For out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance, the mouth speaks. Your words are a product of your thought life. Okay? You need to grasp that. Your words are a product of your thought life, and your emotions are a product of your thought life. I know this all too well. All too well. I was the number one offender, okay, in these things, because it can be challenging to wrangle those thoughts and get them under control until you understand that that's why Philippians 4:8 says, whatever's true, whatever's honest, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise or excellence, think on these things. And when we think on these things, then we don't produce an abundance of anger or frustration or irritation. And when we don't think on it and we don't put it in there, then it doesn't come out. And we're not creating our own problems. There's enough issues to deal with without creating them with our mouths. When we fix our minds on Him and spend time in His presence, we learn how to speak life. When you meditate on life, you speak life. And your world that you live in is created by the words that you speak. And that's another thing that's going to help us in that confidence, in that trusting area. I occasionally like to look on Facebook. I know some of you are like that. You just like to see what's going on, what's up with your friends, what's happening in the world. See something funny. If you friend the right people, you will laugh every time you look on Facebook. You got to be careful about this. There are some people that just know where the funny stuff is, and they will post it, and I love that. I saw one today that said, look at the weather being all pretty and nice like it didn't try to kill us last week. I thought that was pretty appropriate. It's like, we know what you did. You're not getting a pass that easy. But anyway, sometimes I have to put it down because of the negativity that I see from believers. Okay? Negativity from believers. I expect that many of my Facebook friends don't know any better. But believers, when you post on Facebook, you are speaking. You are speaking words into the atmosphere. So please, please, please speak life. Don't call things that are what they are. Those idiots in the government are at it again. Like we don't know, number one. And number two, you're calling what is, is. Why don't you call the things that be not as though they were? God is doing something amazing in our nation, and I know he's going to take care of this. You don't have to deny it. Just speak life. Speak life. Don't declare what the middle looks like in the middle. It's awful. This weather is awful. I hate it. It's terrible. Why don't you declare the end from the beginning? We have heavenly weather here. We have blessed weather. Thank you, Father, that you are getting this weather under control as we agree with you and decree. It's not going to kill us this time. Speak life. Speak life. So wait on him. Linger with him. Come to him. Lean on him. Spend time in his presence. I can promise you that just coming here Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday is not enough. If you only ate, some of us, if we only ate those days, we might balance out for a while. But actually, we understand that it's really best to eat every day, right? To drink water every day. We don't need intermittent fasting for the Word of God, for the presence of God. You need more and more and more and more and more, spending time with him. If you don't know what to do when you spend time with him, ask him. You go out with your friend, you say, what do you want to do today? And you wait for an answer. And he may just say, just put some music on and praise me. Or he may say, why don't you read from the book of John and let me explain it to you? Or he might say, let's pray in the Spirit. There's some things I need you to accomplish. He wants to talk to you. Come to him. You know how I can tell when people have been spending time with the Father? One of the things that I notice when they've been spending time with him is they'll come to me here and say, Pastor Michelle, you know, I was just thinking about something over here that needs to be done, and I feel like I'm probably supposed to be the one to do it. Is that okay? And I'm like, yes. Hallelujah. You know, we've been making announcements and announcements and announcements and trying to get people to help with this and help with that. And then somebody just walks up and says, I saw this. It needs attention. Can I help? That's a heart that's been before God. That's a willing heart. That's a blessing. I'm not saying that I'm not going to believe you've been with God until you come do something in the church. That's not where I was going with that. But God will put things inside of you, your assignment, things to do. If you will spend time with him, he will strengthen and encourage your heart and give you rest so that you can stand. Amen?
Excellent word. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard. We thank you for your spirit that we still feel here in this place, Father God. Your anointing, your presence, Father God, lingering here with us. And I thank you, Father, that you are teaching us. You are making this word alive in us. We hear with your ears, Father God, with the ears of the Spirit. And we see with the eyes of your Spirit, Father God. And I thank you that your word is forever settled and it will not return void. So, Father, as the word has gone forth tonight, I thank you that you accomplish it in our hearts, in our lives. That as we begin to spend more time with you, more time with you, there's never a time where it's enough. But, Father, we always need more of you. I thank you that you are bringing us into that place of rest, that place of patience, that place of joy, of love, of all that you have promised, Father God, all that you have promised. It's not for us to work and build, but it is for us to receive from you. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Thank you for your word, for your spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful for your presence, Father. So grateful for the words. So grateful for you, Lord God. Bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Stand with me. It's been awesome to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad that you came, showed up. Glad that you, watching by live stream, tuned in to us. We know that the same anointing and spirit goes right through that camera because, well, no, it doesn't have to go through the camera. It just comes straight from here to your house. And just receive that and allow God to minister his peace to you. There's a supernatural peace right here, right now, and we are thankful to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I call you the blessed of the Lord. I say that you are surrounded with his favor and his grace. It goes before you on all sides of you and causes your steps to be ordered by his spirit. And that as you go as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And you change things because you are spending time with God. The same way that our Redeemer, he would spend time with God and then he would come and he would do. He would change situations in the earth. So do you when you spend time with God. Your presence is a reflection of his presence everywhere you go. And what you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. And there is no weapon that forms against you that can prosper against you. But you are taught of the Lord. And great is your peace. You lack for nothing. You are healed well and whole by the stripes and the word of God. And you're blessed to be a blessing. Go with God. We'll see you. Yeah, don't forget your gifts to help for these two. Yeah, the two ministry opportunities there in Botswana outside of what we normally do. If God lays it on your heart, use this bucket over here. So you're dismissed. God bless you. We love you.